We're just about 17 minutes away from announcing another name in our Live for Free giveaway. Now get your name in. What you got to do, go to the website, register, tell us when you're going to listen. Listen for your name specifically on this show at 420 and 520. If you hear your name, call in within 10 minutes and you'll get $100 and be eligible to win $10,000. We're going to give that away Thursday morning. So you got to act fast, right?
Yes. But what a fun thing. You sign up, your name gets called, you win $10,000, bada bing, bada boom.
Hey, it's fun just to hear your name on the radio.
Yeah, there we go.
Let alone $100 or $10,000.
I'd like to win money.
You would?
I would like to live for free. That's a lot of money. I love it. Okay.
Pete, you're lucky you have a job, Sister Sledge. Just think about it.
Well, I am lucky I have a job.
Remember we had to broadcast from home? My goodness, did people ever have fun listening to B. Arthur go on and on about me.
Well, Lori, last there Wednesday. Was a lot of material.
Was there?
Yeah.
It's like, funny because I didn't find it as funny because I was sitting here panicking, you right. know, looking across the wall at Holly going, if this doesn't work, are you and I going to talk for 3 hours here? Meanwhile, Lori's like, I don't know how to
plug
turn
in.
On.
Looks like I'm losing power. Click.
Someone was like, that needs to be your State Fair t-shirt.
I don't right click.
Or Luddite and Julia.
Yeah. No, I was, Lori, we were all panicking.
Yeah.
But really, I was laughing so hard. I couldn't help it because I know you. And we literally, when we were on the air and you said, I'm running out of power, I just thought,
yeah,
of course you are.
So when are Casey? The I don't right click t-shirts going to be available? I need one. Do they have Marconi Awards for comedy sketches inadvertent? The Amy Daniels recap of the Lori Julia
fiasco
show is just amazing.
No, that was a day.
Yeah.
The first half hour, Lori, at the break, I went outside and I called B. Arthur and I'm peeing my pants laughing so hard at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is classic.
Mm-hmm.
This was classic Lori.
Yeah. And I mean, I was all sincere. I don't right click.
How do you right click is would be another thing.
Right.
Where is the right click? I don't even know what that means. All right. So hopefully we'll announce someone's name and they're going to win.
We will.
$100 in a minute.
Okay. So we got, I mean, I couldn't believe it when we have some notable obituaries, you guys,
okay.
just to go over. But this one really just made me sad because I had read some stories about him. And I remember he wrote a book like 10 years ago. But it's Tony Shea. It's spelled S-H-S-I-E-H, but it's pronounced Shea. And
yes.
he's the guy who founded Zappos.
Yep.
He died in a house fire.
He sounded like he's super young. He sounded like the smartest young.
46 years
yeah.
old. And he was visiting family. And his death was confirmed by Zappos. No details about, you know, what exactly happened, if he was trapped in the house. He stepped down as chief executive at Zappos in August after 21 years with the company. He started selling shoes in 1999. He sold his first company, Link Exchange, an online advertising mm-hmm. network, to Microsoft in 1998.
For like $45 million. And
3 years after he graduated from Harvard mm-hmm. with a computer science degree. So he started, someone talked him into this Zappos thing. And
he bought a site that was like ShoeBop.
Shoe. And, yeah. and he changed it to Zappos because Zapatos is Spanish for shoes.
Never knew that.
Oh, you didn't?
Never
Zapatos?
Knew that.
Yeah. Zapatos.
And he realized people don't need to try on shoes to buy them because their sides are pretty.
No, he realized buyers needed to try on shoes. Oh. So he offered
free shipping.
Overnight shipping and free return, sending people multiple pairs at a time. And he sold it to Amazon for $1.2 billion in 2009, but stayed on as CEO mm-hmm. until this past August. And he had this philosophy of, if your employees are happy, the business will be happy. And he started that whole Las Vegas, the downtown project, revitalizing downtown yeah. Las Vegas, because that's where it was headquartered. And anyway, he sounded like a cool guy.
Very cool. And very people were very saddened about it because he was such an innovative guy.
Yeah. 46 years old.
Yep.
So that happened. Yeah, I just couldn't even. I was like, what?
You know, I saw that.
And then,
because they had done profiles on him and all the cool things that he did with downtown Las Vegas.
And his whole philosophy, yeah, which was so opposite of Silicon Valley.
There's no levels here. If you want to put together an agenda for a meeting, put it together. It doesn't matter if you're the smallest person on the totem pole or the highest person up. It's you matter. Everyone's information matters.
Right, right.
Like, so, kind of management with no walls.
I do feel like we kind of have known about him. He's,
yes, we have. They've done
guy.
Profiles on him for years. Yeah.
Now, this guy we all know, David Prowse, but we might not have known his name because he physically played Darth Vader, yes, in the Star Wars movie. But of course, Darth Vader's voiced by James Earl Jones.
Right.
But he was cast. He's an English dude. He was 85 and he passed away early Sunday. I don't know what.
He had pancreatic cancer. Oh, not pancreatic. He had prostate cancer. But something came on at the end, like pneumonia or COVID or something.
And took him. Yeah. And his agent released the statement, "May the force be with him always." But he was best known because he was tall. And when they were casting Star Wars, he was offered Chewbacca or Darth Vader because they needed
a tall,
physically tall, big men for those two
costumes. Yeah.
And he's like, well, there really isn't a choice, is there? And he picked Darth Vader, mm-hmm, over the hairy ape, which would have been very hot to wear.
Is that what Chewbacca is? Would we call him an ape?
He's a Wookiee.
He's a Wookiee. He's a version of an ape.
What's a Wookiee, though?
It's a race of, you know,
a
hairy,
very tall ape. Monkey,
really?
Man.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've gone, yeah, down the rabbit hole, but I remember
Wookiees.
George Lucas, you know, wanted it to be like, look kind of like a dog and kind of like a bear.
That's
bear,
right. Okay.
At the same time. So he just picked Darth Vader, and apparently George Lucas later banned Prowse from Star Wars events after wrongly accusing him of leaking Darth Vader's fate in Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
There was beef.
One-sided beef and wrong beef.
And Prowse always would just say, when he would ever be asked about it, because he had a part in that horrible movie, A Clockwork Orange.
Oh.
But he said, you know, nobody will ever
loves
forget Darth Vader. You know, one of the
ever
most iconic, but we
ever
just didn't know he played him. But he was 6'6 and 275 pounds.
Jeez, that's a big man.
Yeah. He also played Frankenstein's monster.
Okay, so he was bigger. Tall boys are us casting agency.
That's mm-hmm right. And then for all of you fans of soap operas from the 60s, Roger Friedman said writers never get any love in the Hollywood obituaries. And because this guy was 92 and he outlived so many people, Malcolm Marmorstein died, and he wrote Peyton Place, which back in the 60s started Mia Farrow and Ryan O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
And people were addicted to that show. It was on twice a week.
Yep.
Like, people have been addicted to other shows. And then
I thought you were going to say, like, they've been addicted to ours. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
I like,
okay,
that.
Exactly.
But Dark Shadows, he wrote 80 episodes of Dark Shadows, which aired at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, depending on where you lived. And he is the one who created Barnabas Collins, the most famous Dark Shadows character.
Yeah, and the best name.
Who was just like a rock star.
Yeah, Barnabas. It's
so
a great
anyway,
name.
Malcolm Marmorstein, 92. He also wrote the Disney hit Pete's Dragon.
Oh, and that was a hit. That was
and
a hit.
They put it out again.
Yes,
so,
all right.
Anyway, there you go. Listen, we come back. It's time for Random Thoughts.
You know, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right, so we've got a couple minutes before we have someone call in and win the big kahuna, $100. So hopefully you're listening and stay listening. I was so taken by one of the stories yesterday morning that CBS Sunday Morning did on this artist named Charlie Mackesy. And you may have heard of him or his books. They're called The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse. And it's been on the New York Times best-selling list for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And Oprah even read it this summer to kids in Chicago schools. And he's just getting ready to do an Audible book on it. But it's all about gratitude, empathy, these whimsical characters, and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such good messaging in the little books. You can follow him on Instagram. He's got a huge following. He was, you know, he lives in England.
Yeah.
He is this artsy fartsy guy.
There's so many good stories on CBS Sunday Morning yesterday.
So many good stories. But this one in this book felt like, I remember The Giving Tree.
Oh, yes.
Was one of the books like that everyone had when we were growing up, or All the Places You'll Go was mm-hmm. another one by Dr. Seuss, or some of these books that just are kind of timeless for people uh-huh. of all generations. So I thought, if people are looking for a feel-good book on empathy and yeah. kindness and love, it's called The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse.
Aww.
I thought it
that was a really cute story, because I wasn't familiar with it.
I wasn't either, Lori, and mm-hmm. I was just so taken aback by all of it. I thought it was so great. Now I'm going to go from that to tell you how many times a day, I'm going to let you guys guess because we have a minute. How many times a day do you think people expel gas? And that is a classic from my father. It's not tooting. It's expelling gas. My dad used to say, I'm expelling gas. Or it was always expelling gas.
Are we talking about gas?
From guys? Because I feel like guys fart more than women
do.
Do
you think they do?
I know they do.
So women like hold it in?
No. Try to.
We're just,
and get cramps. And get cramps as a result.
No, we don't chew with our mouth open
to get so much air.
Yeah, like guys do. Guys take bigger bites. And they chew with their mouth open, and they're bringing air in, that they're giving makes themselves them gassy. Yeah, so I'm going to say 3 times.
Okay, Rocco?
I think it's more than times. That. And but when you're saying gas, are you talking about just from below?
Farting.
Okay.
Farting, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can have gas, you know, burps, right?
Oh, that's, I'm just talking about the tootie patooskies. Gotcha. I'm expelling gas.
I would say 10 times.
It's 14 to 23 times a day. And that could be when you're going to the restroom. It could be when you're doing other things. It could be. Yes. Wanted to stump a child. All right. What time is it, Rocco?
It is time for me to hit this button.
Dude, it sucks this year.
That's right. It sort of has sucked this year, but we're going to try to make it better, especially for Callie, K-A-L-I Anderson of Delano. She might live for free if she calls in. She'll get $100 just for calling in the next 10 minutes. And then if she wins the drawing that we're going to do Thursday morning, she could win $10,000 in our grand prize. So if you are Callie or Kaylee Anderson of Delano, call me right now at 651-641-1071 in the next 10 minutes.
Hey, Jean,
and if you're not Callie or Kaylee,
Callie.
Sign up. We got a couple days left here.
Paging Callie Anderson. You've left your wallet at the TSA pre-check.
Paging Callie Anderson.
You go. Callie Anderson of Delano. Give us a call, and perhaps you could live for free for the rest of the year.
Lucky her. All right. So I want people to know another thing that popped up literally on our website over the weekend. We have some pop-up MyTalk merchandise. If people are looking for gifts to give to people who are hard to give to, there's a couple different t-shirt options, a cute little snow cap, a cute little like Yeti cup to carry hot and cold things in that are cute. So you just go to mytalk1071.com to get all those good things. Okay, so I thought this is always good to remember, and it kind of freaks you out when you hear the number. The three largest employers in the United States are
Amazon, the U.S. Postal Service, and retail.
Okay, the Department of Defense, 3.2 million people. Walmart, 1.2 million people. And McDonald's, with 1.9 million people. Mm-hmm. I was in a McDonald's drive-thru yesterday.
I mean, do you want a prize?
No, I do want a prize, but it's funny when you try, and they have two lanes, and you try to guess which car is going to be faster.
You can't.
Always go to the wrong.
I'm always impressed, you know, once they started doing the two lanes, that they still get it right as to which one you are. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's fair.
I'm impressed. They're doing something right.
Yeah, well, they are, but
And have you noticed, too, kind of this is on topic, if you wanted to give money to the Ronald McDonald House, a lot of McDonald's now allow you to round up your drive-thru order, you know, because they always have the coin drop.
Right.
But who has coins anymore?
I used coins yesterday, and we told them to keep it for that very... Yeah.
So I know the McDonald's near my house, they have a little sign that says, if you want to round up for Ronald McDonald House, you know, just say so.
Just say it. Say it. Say okay. it.
Sorry right, to interrupt. Still, that was no, a rock. That doesn't matter. Thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay, so Aerosmith, the band, has made more money in royalties off of the video game Guitar Hero Aerosmith than they made from any of their actual albums.
That's pretty insane.
Thank their manager for getting them in on
no
that action.
No kidding. That's a serious one.
And oftentimes, when I think of bands that made a lot of money, I think about those bands that were big in the 90s, because that was right, you know, when CDs were just gigantic.
Yeah.
Right. And right before, you know, streaming came. So if you got that big contract, you know, in like 1993, you were making some money.
You were making some money, because streaming did change a lot of that. Okay, da-da-da-da-da-da, a little drum roll, our word of the year. By Merriam-Webster?
Efficacy.
Yeah, that should. Right. It's got to be up there. Efficacy. It's so good. It sounds good to say.
It does sound good to say. They're even saying one of them is 100% has efficacy. We're talking
efficacy.
About the vaccine's success rate.
Julia, blowout's efficacy is 100%.
For people who don't, are thinking about a blown out tired.
Right.
Tire, but you're talking about your hair. Okay, the year of the word is pandemic.
Mm.
They use a lot of data to figure out what the word of the year is. And basically the spike from February 3rd on, 1,621% in that word. And they just figured that's the one.
That's what describes it. Everything. We haven't had a pandemic. Because pan means it's the whole world.
Thank you.
It's an epidemic that's of global proportions, right?
That's good.
Know. I think so, Lori. If you people have been wondering what... You're
bringing us the Merriam-Webster word of the year, and then you don't have the dictionary, the exact thing.
I didn't look into it. I just thought...
Yeah, I just show up and, you know, read some words.
Why should I look into the history on these things?
It's called a definition.
I know. Like, is that why?
Yeah. I mean, you really, your explanation was just wanting somewhat. It's like, did you spend too much time in the McDonald's drive-in yesterday?
Behind the wrong car.
Right.
The minivan without the kids.
Did you
get
it? Did you look it up, the Merriam-Webster?
No, she hasn't looked it up. She's ready to dazzle us with some other.
All right, if you have it, please tell us.
Okay, I just looked it up. It took me about 1.5 seconds.
Okay.
Occurring over a wide geographic area, such as multiple countries or continents, and typically affecting a significant proportion of the population.
Yeah, the whole wide world.
Did we not know that?
An epidemic. Yeah. I did know it. I said it for you. You're right.
And that was the adjective, you know, if you were to say pandemic malaria. I don't know. It's whatever. We got it.
This was such a great all play.
Yes.
You needed an all play on that
one. I'd like to pass.
Yeah.
And we still have 4 minutes for Callie Anderson of Delano to give us a call at 651-641-1071. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rocco.
Okay.
Time for traffic. I'm cutting that song off. I'm just not ready for Old Bing and a White Christmas. I'm just not ready for it.
Wow, aggressive much for a Monday.
Yeah, no, I'm aggressively going to be down on that song right now, okay?
It was the number one song. That was the very first song played on the radio. All right, back to you.
Beautiful. Was that one of your randoms today?
No, I didn't get to my randoms because you guys interrupted me wanting a definition of a word.
You're the one who went side saucing all over the place with McDonald's and this, that, and the other thing, and giving us a word that you never even looked up, and then I just had to pull it out of my ass. And you
amazing.
Know, typical Monday. Has our gal called in, Callie?
Nope. Callie, I think we ran
Anderson,
out of time
Allie
on Callie.
Campbell,
it is 4:31.
That's too bad. Oh.
Is it out of time?
Yeah.
All right,
too bad.
Sorry.
We'll do it again at 5:20.
Yeah, we will.
All right, let's do it. So let's listen to Jennifer Lopez. When we last saw each other, Julia, on Wednesday, late on Wednesday, after A-Rod had tweeted a photo to Insta World and said, hey, hope, you know, we're excited to be spending the holidays together. What are your holiday plans? And it was inside their private jet.
As they were,
going somewhere. And people just were like, oh, shut up, basically.
Right.
And so then J-Lo, you know, released her kind of a smoldering look from a J-Lo makeup line. And then she released the nude photo of her at the side. It's really it's a great picture, but the way she's hunched over, I wanted Hugh Hefner to set up this shoot because the way she sort of hunched in her elbows and her arms to cover.
It's not enough Playboy for you.
It doesn't seem sexy. It seemed more
sexy.
Like a medical, you know?
It felt like it was an Olympic athlete in one of those, you know, when they pose them nude.
Yes, try harder.
And they're all hot, you know, they're hiding with
their private parts.
You know, whatever they throw or toss. You know, here's the big, beautiful man with his javelin right in front of his javelin, you know. So I thought it was a weird picture, and she's, you know, she's got the wet chopped blob hair, and it just wasn't sexy to me. It felt like it was an Olympic athlete. But the song she released Friday morning, because now no one is talking about the private jet, because they've done three great PR things in a row. Then Friday morning, she releases a song called In the Morning, which I think is, once again, J-Lo knows how to do a catchy dance track.
Yeah, she does.
Let's listen.
So, thank you.
People were kind of liking that song, had a little love this weekend. But the thing that is getting, like, everybody talking, or at least Miley and all of her people. So her new album, Plastic Hearts, and we've heard, like, four or five songs already. And that album released on Friday, Black Friday.
Oh, it did come out. Okay.
Okay, but nobody has it. So she went on Twitter and Instagram, and she basically, I'll just kind of paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. So the album dropped. The big box stores don't have the physical copies of either the CD or the vinyl, the album.
Okay.
So it'll be weeks before it's stocked or shipped. And she's just pissed. And so she said, when we chose November 27th, the suggested date by my record label for the album drop.
Yes.
My team and I were never told major retailers don't stock physical albums on Black Friday, and that the copies wouldn't be in the store until at least a week or two later.
Well, that's just wrong.
She's pissed. And then she wished Billy Idol a happy birthday, because she did do a duet with him on this. But her album is getting great reviews, and we've loved all the songs.
We have loved all the
Prisoner signs. Has grown on me with Dua Lipa. She's got her thing with Joan Jett. This song is called Angels Like You. And I'm sorry, this song is 100% about Liam Hemsworth.
All right, let's listen.
Yeah, and Rolling Stone said this is, to say that her glam throwback, Plastic Hearts, is her most self-assured record yet. She pays homage to her new wave heroes and country. Classic country. It's
she's so good.
Yeah, because she does do covers on this album, and this is a pretty cool, very Joan Jett. You know, it's very early
people 80s. Pre-ordered from Target and stuff. Don't get it till December 15th, so it doesn't count as first week record sales. So it screws up everything. That's a big error.
She was like thinking, like, I would think this too if I was an artist and I'd been around as long as Miley has. Okay, you know your big retail dates for stuff. And Black Friday.
That's your job.
Yeah, it's your job. So
it's your job.
She's pissed at her record.
Yeah, she relied on them to do their job.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of.
Did you like that song, Rocco? Just to get
I'm feeling it. I want to listen to that album start to finish.
Yeah.
And I was just looking on Spotify. You know, there's bonus tracks at the end, including when she did Zombie as part of that Save Our Stages festival.
Mm-hmm.
And Heart of Glass from iHeart Festival, and that Stevie Nicks sort of crossover mashup with Edge of 17. So there's some good songs on there.
And you know, she's those live hair, but she is a songwriter too.
She's a massive songwriter.
Yeah.
All right. So this is kind of good news, because I don't know if you saw this, but both Lori and I saw the Peanut Butter Falcon. Did you see it, Rocco?
You know, that's on our list, and we thought that'd be good to watch with the 9-year-old.
So
it'd be great.
Yeah.
So the Down syndrome boy that stars in it, his name is Zach Godsagan.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be co-starring with Felicity Huffman in the new baseball drama. So that just got announced today, because we were talking about Felicia Huffman has her first show. And
well, this is how Page Six phrases it. Ex-con Felicity Huffman scores first acting role after prison stint. That's the headline.
Yeah, that's really something nice, isn't it?
Because the puns are just too great. She caught her first prison break, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I saw that the project was starring Zach. And I guess it was written by the woman who wrote and was the showrunner for The Bold Type.
We watched for a little while.
Well, so
about
good.
Magazine.
And The Baker and the Beauty.
Which we watched. I watched the foreign one for that. That was
one.
So good.
And then A Million Little Things is also.
People love that,
that show. So she's. Anyway, they're saying that. that if Felicity Huffman would play this, her husband dies. It's a real life story in 2009, and she takes over the baseball franchise, and Zach plays her son, and he's a huge baseball fan.
Oh,
and the real life team won the AAA National Championship last year. It's kind of a Cinderella story.
Oh, I love this. This will be good then.
Mm-hmm. And if they need to fill out the roster, they can always hire, you know, do a real good thing and hire Lori Loughlin because she's going to be getting out of the pokey.
That would really be a really good thing. And I think it would bring so many eyeballs, Lori. Yeah. She could be someone who sells beer in the stands.
Yeah. Susan Savage, the real life owner of the Sacramento Rivercats.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
And that is such a great movie. I know someone else who just watched that this weekend for the first time.
It's just a feel good.
Dakota Johnson, Shia LaBeouf. It's wonderful.
It's so, it really is.
How did we miss that Rihanna is supposedly dating ASAP Rocky?
We haven't missed that. That's been in the headlines for a long time.
We haven't discussed it, Julia. Isn't he the one who got out of the pokey in Norway or something?
Yes.
Didn't Trump get him out?
Yes.
I just didn't. They were at the Beatrice Inn.
These two have been kind of having a thing for a while.
Oh, they have. I kind of like that. I mean, he's really cute.
Yes, he is.
And he was featured in her Fenty skin campaign in July. She probably personally invited him.
Well, if I was somebody and I was of that level and that talent and I could do my own videos and invite anyone to be, I would invite someone I wanted to have. Mm-hmm. Some relationships with.
I don't think we knew this. Melissa McCarthy, she was on, I don't know why I watched it because we didn't have any show to do on Thursday, but she was on Jimmy Fallon.
She's funny.
Yeah, I think that's why I have it on the DVR. Yep. And so I saw that she was on with Jimmy Fallon, but I didn't realize the reason why she and her husband are in Australia with their kids is she is making that movie with Nicole Kidman. Nine Perfect Strangers by Liam Moriarty,
the book that we read and had her on for.
So she was promoting something.
About a wellness resort.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good book.
Yeah, so she was promoting something else, but she did just say, well, yeah, I had been filming. Obviously, they're all done. And
she's got a movie
that's coming out.
An AI movie.
Yeah.
That's on, like, Netflix or something. I don't know. But
I was caring about was I was like, I didn't know she was going to be in Nine Perfect Strangers.
No, I like that. And that her husband kind of has a crush on Harry Styles.
Who doesn't have a crush on Harry Styles?
Marco, do you have a crush on him? Marco?
Yes, I bet he does.
You know, it's starting to happen, yeah.
Yeah, he's by such osmosis a through us.
If you keep mentioning his name enough, sure. I'm the leader of the fan club.
Hey, it's just like sometimes yes, dear, are the most important two words that a person can learn in a relationship or whatever your endearment is.
To each other, exactly.
Yeah, because some stuff you just have to let go under the rug. Disagreeing about yes, dear, yes, darling, yes, beautiful.
That's why I wanted to watch the flight attendant show. I wanted something where we could bond together.
I'm glad you're part of the show. Mm-hmm. This is nice of you.
Thank you.
2 months in.
Yeah, right.
You're a giver.
Okay. When we come back, it's time to Hollywood speak, and this fatigue is real.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
Oh, let's get ready to clutch our royal pearls, Julia. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know the crown with the advent of Princess Diana in the storyline has got the royal family.
Has it hit a nerve?
Courtiers clutching their pearls so hard. The culture secretary
of what
of
the palace or something
of the
royals.
Yes, this guy, his name is Oliver Dowden. He added his voice to mounting concerns that fabricated scenes in the drama series are so damaging to the royal family that viewers should be warned at the start of each episode that it is not. Fact, it is highly sophisticated propaganda.
Well, honest to Pete, isn't that what TV shows are? Unless it's a documentary, don't we assume that things are not true?
I mean,
it's based on a story. There's no book about this.
Exactly. We know it's based.
It's hitting a chord.
Oh.
It's hitting a chord.
It's hitting a sore spot that's true. And I wonder where in seasons 1 through 3, where we see Philip being quite a philanderer. We see all kinds of things that, you know, Margaret. I mean, you know, we see all kinds of things.
What's the fine line?
These guys are, they're totally showing us their hand. Of course, Netflix is laughing all the way to the bank. This just makes more people interested in watching it and even watching episodes they haven't watched.
I don't
know
why they never complain, never explain.
Oh, my.
Should have been their rule on this one.
Really, really and truly, because they never said that about, because...
Right. We saw a lot of things.
We knew that.
This.
We're like, well, we don't know what's true, but everybody's Googling afterwards. Yes, you're absolutely right. When there are actors playing real life people, then we know it's a fictionalized account of something.
Yes, we do.
We are not at that point where we need it spelled out. Thank you very much, Culture Secretary, for showing Buckingham Palace's hand now that the whole world knows what a cold, dysfunctional, screwed up family they are, just like everybody else.
Got it.
Royals, they're just like us.
Barely, but okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Barely.
But they are really a dysfunctional family at the heart of it. Even when you think about how so many, like the way they've,
yep.
The cousins, and even if you look, you know, Queen Elizabeth is related just one cousin away from her husband.
Yeah, no, right?
Right, right. So they're just a very rich, sophisticated, dysfunctional royal family.
Got it.
I mean, the criticism is really
reaching.
All
right, I got one for you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so apparently on a show, Cocktails with Queens, the ladies were discussing whether Toni Braxton was a good lover. And one of the people...
No, not Toni Braxton.
No, just let me finish.
Okay.
And one of the people said, her name is Lisa Ray McCoy, said, quote, "We don't know what she's doing in the bedroom. It could be like Halle Berry."
Oh, I see.
Then Claudia Jordan asked Lisa Ray, another co-host, if she was insinuating that Halle was bad in bed. And then Lisa Ray replied, "That's what they say. That's what I read. That's what I've heard."
She heard from one person who supposedly screwed Halle Berry that she just laid there and did nothing, that she was beautiful to look at, but no fun in bed.
Okay, now...
The same has been said about Jennifer Aniston.
Okay, so now...
Hollywood speak on that is did Holly respond?
Yes.
What'd she say?
Quote, "Ask my man, Van Hunt. He'll tell y'all what you need to know." Why would she even respond? See, is so thirsty.
She's thirsty. She didn't need to respond.
She should have said nothing.
But she's got her movie coming out that she's supposed to be very good in, that MMA. And I'm going to say that her publicist said, "Halle, go right ahead." And people don't like their lovemaking stuff besmirched, Julia.
Yeah,
I guess. And Halle Berry, maybe that touched too close to home. Because there have been times that she just did not do much.
Really? I feel like she responds a lot.
Well,
but I hope this new movie's good for her.
Yeah,
I
but do. So the publicist said, just like, go ahead.
Do it.
Because, I mean, the other day she posted a thing of herself dancing in a sheer white dress and someone filmed her from behind. So you just got the fetching silhouette.
She just wants to be remembered. Jennifer Lopez and her are doing the naked tour. They're doing the silhouette tour of COVID.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's the COVID silhouette.
Yeah.
Good for you.
How come we haven't done any COVID silhouettes?
I'm going to bring in a sheet tomorrow, okay. And you're going to dance in front of it, and Rocco's going to hold a blow dryer at you.
All right. Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I don't know. But we'll have to talk
about
that.
I think we should do the COVID silhouette dance.
Okay. Glenn Close was giving an interview with Popcorn with Peter Travers. Remember I told you he's the longtime Rolling Stone movie critic who left Rolling Stone magazine to do this thing with ABC News. Popcorn with Peter to have a new show. Anyway, she said to him, he was asking her about being nominated because, of course, she had that bitter. We all thought she was going to win. She won the SAG. She won the Golden Globe.
Which one was? Oh, for the guy, the Pulitzer Prize. She was the wife of the Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yeah. Whatever that.
Oh, yeah. The bitter. Whatever that
movie
was called.
And it was like her 7th nomination. Mm-hmm. She'd won everything else and then she didn't win the Oscar. So he brought it up. So you know it's a sticky subject.
Yep.
And she said, "Well, honestly, I feel that to be nominated by your peers is about as good as it gets. And then I've never understood how you could Honestly, compare of performances, you know. So the fact she's using Honestly twice.
Yeah, it was called The Wife, and it was in 2017. Yeah.
The fact she's using Honestly twice just shows you, like, how...
She's lying.
She's totally lying. Yeah. She says, I remember the year Gwyneth Paltrow won over that incredible actress who was in Central Station. I thought, what? It doesn't make sense. A, she can't remember what the actress's name.
Right. And B, she's throwing down Gwyneth Paltrow.
Under the bus. It doesn't make sense. When she's used the word, I mean, she's bitter. She's bitter.
She's bitter. Lori, she's bitter. I'm going to be honest with you. And I would...
She couldn't believe it. The 1 year she is Susan Lucci'd out of the Oscars.
No, I'm going to tell you something about what's going on with her. Because she's in some movie.
Hillbilly Elegy.
Okay, so I saw her be interviewed. Mm-hmm. And if someone took the Krabby Crabtree pill that day, it was Glenn Close.
Really?
She feels like she's got a negative chip on her shoulder. Like, if she was in her 50s or 40s, I would say she's going through perimenopause. And, like, her hormones are going wacko because she's so bitter.
Yeah, so crabby.
She was so crabby. Well, I hated watching it. She was on Colbert or something. She was so bitchy. I'm like, Glenn Close, you know, come on.
She's always kind of given us good couch, but
she has been on the bitch train, the bitch tour.
Right.
Wasn't attractive.
Well, she's playing a very unattractive woman in Hillbilly Elegy. Fine. You wouldn't even recognize
her. But she didn't even sound fine. That's a bitch move.
Okay.
To even bring this up is dumb. Because then she looks dumb.
Right.
She just looks dumb. Why would you do anything to make yourself look dumb?
And, you know, the year that Gwyneth wrote or won for Shakespeare in Love, the other ones were Meryl Streep for One True Thing.
I don't remember it.
Same. Cate Blanchett for Elizabeth.
Blah. Okay,
blah. And then Emily Watson for Hillary and Jackie.
Blah. Blah.
And then Central Station.
Blah.
So Shakespeare in Love, yes.
And it was the feel-good takeaway movie of the year, even though there was propaganda and all the things in front of it. It's probably when Oscar campaigning started.
Yeah.
But Babyface, Glenn Close, go get a bunny.
Go get a bunny.
Thank you for getting that part. Rock was too young.
Took me a second. I figured it out.
Did you get it? Okay.